meditation time. It's been our experience that a lot of folks are very uncomfortable in giving an invitation to a child. I want to say that we don't need to be uncomfortable. We do have a mandate. Amen? But what we do need to be is careful. Children are gullible, can be. Children are can be easily led down a wrong track. Children do not understand words. They don't. And they may not and so therefore they don't understand concepts. They don't understand. Children are being taught. What's one of the? Maybe I shouldn't do that here because you might be one of those that says, "Oh yeah, we." Okay. One of the things that's taught children these days is never speak to strangers. Okay, parent, young parent, don't ever teach your children that. That is not a good thing to teach your child. That is a terrible thing to teach your child. And you say, why is that? We don't want them to get in trouble. Well, let's teach them discernment. Okay? Let's teach them discernment. But he that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. And a lot of people say, well, children won't talk to adults because they've been trained not to. Now, with all that said, you say, not only do a lot of children not understand words, but they're not going to communicate readily with adults, okay? Especially in a situation that's not, this is just not something you do every day, all right? That's kind of different, and mom and dad aren't there, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We meet people that they just feel a little uncomfortable with this, and I'm going to need some more chairs. I need, they're getting them? Okay, there they come. I'm sorry. And so, we want to disarm that, all right? And let me find out. How many of you say, you know, dealing with children, just maybe that's just a little nervous about it? Anybody? Okay, a few, all right? Well, I hope that this will be a help and encouragement to you. Folks, if you have an opportunity to work with a child, this is their salvation. This is their eternal destiny, and this is our future. Okay? And if I could say anything, if you're involved in children's ministry, get involved more so. We're losing our future. Quickly losing our future. And if we have the opportunity, let's not let it escape. Let me pray and we'll finish. Father, we just ask that you bless in our class times now. Lord, that you be honored in it. I ask God that you'd direct in our hearts, our thoughts, and Father, use us to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the invitation. The gospel is, I do this with kids, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right? And that's very clear. The gospel is very clear. The gospel is not complicated. All right? It is not. And so I will do this with kids. Let's try it. Here we go. And so I say the gospel is. So we say the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you started struggling with, you know, that. And okay, I struggle with this because I can't do that. All right? I got it. Okay, that takes a little bit too long, and then everybody loses interest. Okay, so I say, how come you can't do that? This is a perfect illustration. It's because I lost that finger. All right, so it doesn't work right. And the reason I lost that finger is because I disobeyed. Okay, disobedience is sin, and the gospel covers sin. Amen. All right. And so that's why I can't do that. But the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I do that with kids. Why? Because they will remember that. They will remember that. And we want them to remember that. And so we want to look at the gospel. So the invitation, it worked? Okay, all right. If you are going to be involved in invitation, there's just some things you need to do, and or that you need to be prepared. You need to have, first off, a Bible. Amen. Okay? You need to have a pen or pencil. You need to have a decision slip. And you need a child's gospel tract. And you need people who are able to take the Word of God and sit down with the child and show them clearly from the Scriptures how they might be saved. Right? We encourage folks to do this. If you're coming on board in your children's ministries, you're in charge of it. You should have those folks who are in charge that are going to come on board. They're going to be working with children, that they sit down with you and lead you to the Lord. Amen. Okay. And you say, well, we only believe, you know, saved once saved. I know. Okay. Anyway, it's okay. And you need to have those things with you. Those things should always be with you. It's amazing to me how many times we've seen people, you know, a child raise their hand and, you know, they send it with somebody and they take the child and they walk out or go someplace. There's no Bible. There's no nothing. All right. Unprepared. Okay. And the end results, you may not be anything to you, but you're dealing with that child's eternity. All right. And it's not what we know. It's what God knows that's important. Okay. Counseling rooms are important. I'm going to actually kind of go through one here, an invitation here in just a moment. But you need to have a place that is separated from. All right. You need to have counseling rooms or a counseling place already set up, already ready to go. And it's quiet, but it is, at the same time, it's not secluded, okay? The chairs are set up, and the way we set chairs up is we will take a room. We will take a room, and we'll utilize the four corners, a chair, the soul winner's chair in the corner, and with two or three chairs facing just right in the corner. And now you can have just a little audience right here. Okay? The lights are on. It's a clean room. It's not a cluttered room. The door is never closed. The door is always left a little bit open. And there's other people in there. We suggest that if you are working, sitting down with the Scriptures and you're dealing with a child or some children, take along with you a teenager. All right. The reason being is twofold. One is you're training a teenager. Okay. We need to always be replacing ourselves. Amen. Okay. The other thing that you're doing is you're bridging an age gap here. All right. I'm of the age that has long since been told of the younger generation, you cannot trust. All right? And we don't understand, or the list goes on and on. When I was much younger, they talked about the generation gap. Folks, there's not a generation gap. It's a chasm. All right? In many aspects, it's a chasm. Take a teenager along, it helps gap some of that. They're closer to their age, all right? It'll help them feel a little more at ease. We want them at ease. We don't want them on edge. We don't want them nervous. We don't want them anticipating. We don't, okay? We don't want that, all right? We don't want them thinking, I can hardly wait to get out of here, all right? And by the way, kids may be naive and they may be gullible, but kids are not stupid. And they know exactly how to get out of a situation if they want out, and they'll just say and do whatever you want them to say or do. just to make. It's like going, you know, the guy who comes to your house to sell the vacuum cleaner. You'll do whatever it takes to get him out of there. All right? Okay. Anyway. So, counseling room's ready. Quiet setup. Chairs facing. Preferably men with boys and ladies with girls, if at all possible. Okay? I don't know if this thing just jumped. I'm having the same problem my wife did. I'm getting blank pages. Please bear with me, folks. I apologize for this. Okay. Okay. I think we're there. Did it go? It didn't go. It went? Okay. All right. So I'm going to go through an invitation as I would with children. And we don't use, rarely, very, very rarely, do we use quiet seat prizes. That's just something we did. I can't remember the last time I used a quiet seat prize. I cannot remember that. I don't give little treats and things like that for correct answers and for the correct behavior. Just don't do that. Say, why is that? There's no need to do that. You don't have to do that. And you say, well, how do you get the kids to? You have a good lesson. You don't have to do all that, right? And the other thing is when I walk into a classroom, I don't demand that they behave. I just expect that they will. There is a huge difference in how you approach that, okay? And so you can have a quiet class. I don't care if it's 10. I don't care if it's 1,000. Quiet, still, attentive, listening. But when we come to the invitation time, it's very important that it is quiet. And it's very important that it is still. And so when I come to the invitation time, I say, okay, now bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want you to put your backs to the chairs, right? How many times do we see this? You give the invitation and you immediately have the Submariners go into practice, okay? What do? They go all the way down, right? Do you think their eyes are closed? No, okay? Are they still and quiet? Well, they may be quiet, but they're not still. They're cleaning their shoes. They're messing with the guy next to them. They're trying to look underneath their chair. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Are they obeying you? No, they're disobeying you. All right? They're being very disobedient. Let everything be done decently and in order. Who is the God of order? Well, the God of order is the God of creation, is our Lord and Savior, is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay? And if that's not happening, then we've got something else going on. It's called the God of disorder. And we should not allow that. We should not leave room for him and his cohorts to operate in our classrooms, especially at the invitation time. It's quiet. It's still. Sitting up straight, heads bowed, eyes closed. And we've all seen this too. You know, eyes closed. Right? How about the visitor who's never been here before? You know, they don't know what's going on. This is strange. You know, like, what are you scared me? What are you going to do to me? Am I going to, like, get abducted? Right? You say kids don't think. Oh, yes, they do. Right? They have no idea what you're up to. Close my eyes? Bow my head? Why? All right? It's new to them. And so the kid, you know, is doing this. Or the kid, you know, why? Like, what? Or this one. Okay? Amen? You say, what do you do with all that? Okay? I don't scold. I don't demand. I don't say, I said bow your head, close your eyes. Sit up straight. Want to, but that's not going to get, that's going to go the exact opposite of what you want. All right. So I said, and I just encouraged, it's okay. You can put your hand. It's all right. Now, what if you have someone who just refuses? Then just leave it alone. Okay. My job is not to focus on this child. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit begin to work on this child, because it's obvious that I'm not communicating with this child, and I'm not going to make this child the focus of now my, you're going to do this. Okay? I have others who are in compliance here, and I want to work with them. Okay? But, again, I'll just say, backs to the chair, sitting up straight and tall, very still, very quiet. No one looking around, please. This is a very important time. This is time that God is working in the hearts of people. This is the time God can work in your heart right now. Very still. Very quiet. No one looking around. Eyes closed. Heads bowed. Backs to the chairs. You say, do you spend a lot of time on that? I'm going to spend a little while on that. If I need to. I am. Okay? My voice. I don't raise my voice. I slow my voice down. I get quieter. I want them to almost have to strain to hear what I'm saying. Because if they're there, they're what? They are seriously listening. Okay? And so what about the child who goes, you know, he's down, he doesn't come up, as long as he's not distracting. By the way, if he's close by, and I wish we could just talk about seating arrangements. Okay? Keep things in arcs. Keep things short. Personal workers spread out. Okay? Personal workers, this is not a time for you to close your eyes and bow your heads. This is a time for you to be looking and being alert. And you see a child, you can just simply, you're sitting there, you can just simply, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. All right? Personal workers, people who are working with us, they're there. That's your job. By the way, really, if there's ever a problem, you should deal with it. The speaker should never have to deal with it. You deal with it. Okay? All right. And so it's quiet, it's still. So the first thing I deal with is the saved. Now, I know a lot of people deal with unsaved first. But if you have someone who is unsaved, you actually only now give them one opportunity to think about this. If you deal with the saved first, you give them two opportunities to think about this. All right? So I deal with the saved first. And I say, okay, you're here. Still, it's quiet. And the Lord has spoke to you. I'm sorry. There's been a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner. You realized you needed a Savior, and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're born again. You're on your way to heaven. You have no doubts. You're sure. You've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say it a dozen different ways so that they all have a what? Clear understanding of the question you're asking. And you say, if that's you, could you simply just raise your hand? And you need to be looking for raised hands. If you're going to do personal work, you need to be looking for raised hands. Sometimes you see this. That child is telling you volumes. I'm not sure. All right? You need to mark that down. You need to mark that down. Okay? The child who never came up, and he does this, you need to mark that down. You need to mark that down. You need to mark that down. Both those children If that's as far as it goes, you need to talk to both of them immediately after class. And you need to do it very discreetly. If I have a child, by the way, who causes a ruckus in class and things like that, and we have issues and things, here's what I do. I do not scold them and chide them in class. I don't do that. Now, I'll try to draw them into me and try to get them going in the right direction. And you can do that in the way that you do certain things in your class. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to them right after class. And I'll do it in front of people, but yet I won't do it openly. I'm not going to attack that child. I'm just going to go to that child very quietly and say, "Hey, we didn't have such a good time in class today, did we? We didn't do such a good job, did we?" I'm saying we. Okay? But what I'm trying to get him to do is to agree with his behavior as to what it was. All right? That's paramount. That's important. Because if it does not agree, we're not going in the right direction. Okay? And so then I say, "Okay, why don't we pray and ask the Lord to forgive us right now? What do you say?" And then I'll catch up with you before class starts next week, and we'll pray and ask the Lord to help you to do better in class. Okay? And we do that. Right? So the child who does this, I want to talk to him or her. Why is that? Okay? They know. And the child who does this, that is blatant disobedience. That is total rebellion. Amen. Okay? That is, I can have my cake and eat it too. All right? I want to talk to that child after class. Okay? All right. And then the child, you know, who closed her eyes and are doing this kind of thing. Okay? And here's what he or she's going to do. They see everybody else raise their hand? Why? Everybody else raise your hand. They don't know why. All right? Or the child that does this and goes, okay? I say, "Now, don't raise your hand because your friend raised your hand. Raising your hand will never take you to heaven." Okay? You're working with them. You need to be watching. You need to watch for that child who does that. We can talk to them. Okay? All right. At least they're responding to you. They're listening. They may not quite understand why, but they're what? They are listening. Okay? That's a positive. That's a good thing. All right. Thank you. Put your hands down. By the way, I never have them stand up. Never. I never have children stand up. I never have children come forward. You have them stand up, especially if it's folding, moving chairs. Okay? It's over. All right? It's total distraction. All right? If you have them come forward, you said the magic word. Get out of your chair. All right? And I don't do that. Always seated. Always seated. Always seated. All right? Second, you're here and you've never heard any of this before. This is all new to you. You have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not sure if your sins are forgiven. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. You don't know. But you would let us sit down with the Bible today and show you how you can know that your sins are forgiven, that you can know you're on your way to heaven. Could you raise your hand? All right? Again, you're looking for that child who does this. All right? He's still responding. He just, "I don't know." All right? We're watching. For the child who's still, okay? He definitely probably needs this. Amen? Okay? And, but we're looking for children to raise their hands. Now, here is a point that is very, very, very important that we do. Now, at our home church, we have Vacation Bible School, and we do something every day, Monday through Friday. When we split and go to our different classes, all the children of each day who are first-time visitors with us, they all go to a special class that is nothing but a pure gospel presentation with an invitation. Okay? And then if they come the rest of the week, they no longer go back to that class. Whatever their decision is or isn't, they just go on with the rest of the class. But we want to catch up with them and give them a special presentation. All right. Dealing with children, they raise their hands. And so I'm a personal learner. I've got my Bible. I've got my gospel track. I've got my decision slip, my pen or pencil. And a child's hand goes up. I'm looking. I'm moving. Okay? And I discreetly come up and I say, "Can you tell me why you raised your hand?" It's just real quiet. "Why you raised your hand?" And the kid says, "When do we go home?" "Hey, you know what? We'll be going home in a little bit. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for coming." Pull out a gospel tract, a child's gospel tract, hand it to him, says, "Would you do me a favor? Would you take this home and ask mommy and daddy to read this with you at home? Would you do that? Thank you for coming today. And we hope we see you next week. Thanks for coming. We'll be going home just a little bit." Okay. He's not ready. He's not ready. Okay? He's not even thinking about it. That's the furthest thing from his mind at that point. Can I press the issue? Oh, yes. With kids, it's easy. Okay? But I'm looking around at these decades of doing things and just kind of pressing the issue, and I'm seeing what we're coming up with. All right? Okay? So, another child, he raises his hand. And I said, "Can you tell me why you raised your hand?" "I got to go to the bathroom." Okay. By the way, during the preaching time, nobody goes anywhere. Period. All right? And the personal workers, the kid moves, that personal worker's on. "Ah, where are you going?" "I go to the bathroom." "You can go in just a little bit. Just sit down. Thank you." All right? Okay. And he says, "I got to go to the bathroom." And he says, "You see that guy up there? He's going to let you go to the bathroom in just a minute." And you just kind of, you know, I'm sitting there and I go, you know what I'm saying. I mean, there's just, you got the secret code, the secret handshake. All right? And so we say to the child, "Hey, listen, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here." And hand them a child's gospel tract and say, "Would you take this home and have mommy and daddy read this out loud? Would you do that for me? Thank you. And listen, I hope we see you next week. Thanks for coming. But you can go in just a little bit. He'll let you know, okay?" Good. All right? He's not ready. The gospel is not even thinking about it. But the Holy Spirit will work on hearts of children. And a child will raise his hand and says, "I want to know. I want to know how I can go to heaven. I want to know how my sins are forgiven." They may not even say them in those exact words, but you'll know. We want to take that child and we take him then to that place that's already pre-set up, and we can sit down and we can open the bread of life with them. Amen. Now, when we do that by letting them see what we're saying comes from God, not from my head. All right? This is God's word. Faith cometh by hearing. They don't know what you know is in memorization is coming from God. They acknowledge and understand that God's word is in the Bible, not in your head. I'm glad you have it in your head. All right? Okay? That way you could read it upside down if you like. Okay? They don't know any better. They think, "Oh man, that's so cool. That guy reads upside down. How do you do that, dude?" All right? All right? And so dealing with them then, and just simply go through the scriptures. It doesn't take 30 minutes to go through the scriptures with a child to show them. But what is important is that they realize sin. That is getting more and more and more difficult. Because we're living in a day when good has become evil and evil has become good. All right? We say things like, you know, you shouldn't watch those movies. Well, just stop and think about that for a moment. Where did they get the movie? From mom and dad. By the way, our job is not to drive a wedge between the child and the parent. That is not our place. Our job is to help the parent. They may not know how we can help them, and they may not even understand, but for us to drive a wedge? By the way, if you come down on the issues of all that stuff, folks, trust me, it's going home. And you won't see that child again. You won't see that family again. All right? We need to be careful how, leave the issues alone. Deal with principles. All right? But they need to understand sin. And you say, what is sin in a child's life? Lying. Disobedience. And by the way, there's not a parent out there that wish that somebody could help them with their child in just that one fact, disobedience alone. It is sinful. Amen. Okay? Disobedience and lying and cheating and laziness and stealing and if you have to do as preacher, make yourself a list. Amen. Of sins of a child. But stay away from the issues. All right? And so, but they've got to come to this understanding that they are what? A sinner. And they are what? Accountable. They're accountable for their sin. For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Drill that into them. For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Drill that into them. Okay? And the other thing, be cautious of this. Oftentimes in children's ministries, every week the subject is salvation. Okay? Anybody here like canned tuna?
Not every week.
Not every day. Okay? Not every week. All right? If all we ever give them is just the gospel, folks, they'll never get beyond that. All right? The gospel should be interweaved into our lessons. The gospel should be there. Amen. The gospel is in Genesis through Revelation. It's interweaved. Amen. And we should weave it into our lessons. But they need to understand that they're sinners and they're accountable for what? Their sin. All right? So until they understand they're sinners and accountable, folks, saved from what? You with me? Okay? All right? And we say, but we understand. Oh, we understand. But what's not important is what he understands. We're dealing with his eternity. Amen? Okay? And you say, well, I want to see them saved. Trust me, the Holy Spirit wants to see them saved more than you want to see them saved. And the Holy Spirit can work in their hearts. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. Let us do our job. We're the delivery agent, okay? But we don't have the goods, okay? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. Help them to understand sin. And then asking the child, did this go... Number five. I'm not sure what happened. I'm sorry. Slide five. Okay, thank you. I can't even get mine to... Hey, wait a minute. Things are moving up. Nope, things are dying completely. Okay. So be careful how you word things. If you say to a child, wouldn't you like to be saved? What do you think the answer you're going to get?
Yes.
Okay. We can ask that question, but we've got to be careful how we word that question. All right. Deal with sin. And so I want to keep it very simple. I want to use scripture, and I want to thoroughly cover sin. Be careful how you word things in dealing with a child. Now, the younger they are, the more cautious you need to be. Okay? The older they are, the more readily they understand concepts and understand words, and it's easier dealing with them. In 10:17, it's so simple. So faith cometh by what?
Hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. It's not our opinions. It's not our preferences. It is the word of God that does the work in the heart of an individual. And it will do that perfect work. It'll do it. We just need to make sure they get it. A children's class, it's not an entertainment time. It's not Saturday Night Live. It needs to be Bible. And if we will keep our classes, we keep our lessons Bible, we can have fun. We can laugh. We can enjoy ourselves. We can do that. All right? But if we keep a Bible, at this invitation time, God the Holy Spirit already has the ability to begin working. And you've worked with enough people in sitting with an individual, you will sense and you will know where they're at. And it is Spurgeon said that he had seen a more clear and more sincere response to the gospel in a child than he had ever seen in an adult. Okay? You'll know. But at the same time, if we're not careful, we'll lead them astray. We'll lead them into a false security. Okay? And we don't want to do that. Well, you have, let's say, two or three children. People have asked about this. What if you have a child who comes in and he's disruptive and say, well, so when are we, he's not with you and he's distracting. What do? You hand him a child's gospel tract and you say, you know what? I am sure glad you came today. Would you do me a favor? Would you take this home and have mommy and daddy read this out loud to you at home? Would you do that? And listen, I hope we see you next week. Thank you so much for coming. You know, I'd like to talk to Dave here. Could you do us a favor? Could you slip back out and go back there to class? And I'll catch up with you a little bit later today. Would you do that for me? Thanks, bud. Okay? You've not offended him. You've not made him mad. He'd probably be glad to go back there anyway. Okay? Obviously, he's not interested here. And what have you done? You've now set the stage that you're able to what? Speak to this individual right here. Because the distraction's gone away. And you've not made him mad. You didn't scold him. Okay? By the way, he's disruptive. You scold him, you make twice an enemy. They're on each other's side, even if they can't stand each other. Because you are an adult. Okay? All right. Brother Josh, I don't know what to do. Six. Yeah. And I don't even have my notes in front of me. Maybe I can get them here. I think, hey. Yes. Okay. Now, how do you present the gospel to children? It has got to be scripture. Amen? Now, I know a lot of people. I've got this little pouch here. Anybody guess what this thing is? It's a wordless book. Okay. Here's what I call the wordless book. I call it the worthless book. All right? Okay. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I am not opposed to the wordless book. But I cannot tell you how many times I've seen people lead people to the Lord and simply go through this cutesy little story about all these cutesy little colors and not one scripture ever quoted. Okay? That child did not get saved. All right? Okay? But you can get wordless everything. You can get the wordless hat, guitar, chair, jacket, worm, umbrella, books, on and on and on and on. Okay? They've made a lot of money off the wordless book. All right? I'm not opposed to that, but if you're going to use a wordless book, you need to use scripture. Amen. Okay? You need to use scripture. I like, personally, gifts and rewards. I've got a little box that is a gift box. And it's a nice little gift box. And inside is it has a ribbon. It's first place. And I'll ask boys and girls, so going to heaven, you think it's this or you think it's this? You'd be surprised how many of them think it's the ribbon. Okay? You get to go to heaven. Yay! You win. Ding, 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 ding. But the Bible is very clear that salvation is what? A gift. And when we get all done, they understand the principles of a gift. And there lies the answer is to the principles of salvation. Salvation is a gift. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. That's where we get the word gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy. Mercy and grace are a gift. Okay? All right? We talked about gift. I like to do to distinguish a difference between a gift and a what? Reward. Okay? All right? The Romans Road. Okay? But if you find something that works for you, then use it. I would caution you, though, that not everybody fires on the same thing. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. The ABCs, okay? We sang this song, ABC, okay? All right? Admit, believe, confess. And so you can use the ABCs. There's all kinds of methods in sitting down with the scriptures and giving illustration to show a child the things that are necessary for them to understand that they can call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. If a child responds to the gospel, then let them pray. Now, many times we've seen people say, just pray after me. That makes me really nervous, because that's back down to that thing that you're just doing it all for them and they're just parroting after you. Okay? Now, obviously, a lot of children come from the outside. They never prayed in their life. They don't know what this is all about. It's all new to them. But you'll know when they're sincere. And I'm okay with, say, if they say, I don't know how to pray. And you can pray with them. All right, but it is important that the Bible tells us, says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I've had children say, I just prayed it in my heart. Well, I don't encourage those children that they got saved. God says with the mouth. Okay, honestly, I think we come to a point of I'm not doing it God's way. I'm doing it my way. Just back off. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Just back off a little bit. You don't have to push them into something. Okay? And I sure wouldn't encourage them into something that's not true. If they make a decision or if they don't make a decision, either one is a decision, fill out the decision slip completely. Fill it out. Give the child the gospel tract, no matter what decision they make. If they did make a decision to trust Christ, put their name on there. If they have a Bible, put the date they were saved. Write the date in there and put the date on that gospel tract. Give the child a tract, say thank you for coming, no matter what, and say thank you. And they didn't get saved, say please take this home, have mommy and dad read this to you. And we'll hope to see you come back next week. Plan to visit the home if the child gets saved with a baptism tract and permission slip. All right. I take it my time's up. Is it? Okay. I have just a couple more on that. If you'd like to see me afterwards, I'll be more than glad to finish it. I cover baptism and eternal security. They won't take but just a few minutes. Okay. Thank you.